And it's interesting because it says that they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Okay. Lord, save us. But he won't answer. Now, here's the thing. Here's what we have to understand. Is that there are many that will say unto him, Lord, Lord, the Bible says, but they're not saved. Because he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. So what are these people trusting? Works. Their works. They say, oh, we've done all these works. We preached in your name. We cast. And then will I profess unto them, I used to know you? No, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The good works that they thought they were doing in God's sight are works of iniquity because they came from a sinful heart, a wicked heart. Works of iniquity. They're not saved. So the Bible is teaching that saying Lord, Lord is not enough to get you saved. Okay. In order to be saved, you have to believe. Salvation is by faith. Now, truly, the Bible does say, and this is where people get confused. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? But then they're looking at a scripture like Proverbs and they would say this is a contradiction. You know, because here he says, they'll call upon me and I won't answer. But then over here he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what happens is they're taking scripture out of context because what's the very next statement after it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? So calling upon God without faith in Jesus can't save you. So you could pray a prayer saying, save me, Jesus, take me to heaven. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not saved. Because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't just confess and be saved if the faith isn't there, if the belief isn't there. You got to have the faith, right? Does everybody understand that? Now, in this passage, we see people calling upon the Lord, and he's not answering. He's laughing at them. He's mocking them. They're done. Too late for you guys. You had your chance. Too late for you. Now go to John 12, John chapter 12. And I don't have time to go into all the ramifications of this, but you know, Romans 1 is a great chapter on this where people are given over to a reprobate mind. Now what did Zechariah 7 say? Zechariah 7 said, I sent you the prophets. You wouldn't hear them. Well, now you're calling to me and I'm not hearing you. You don't listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you. Isn't that what he said in Zechariah 7? Yep. Then in Proverbs 1, he said something similar. I stretched out my hand. I made known my words unto you. You didn't want to hear what I had to say. And so now that you're talking to me, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'll laugh at you. I'm not going to answer you when you call me. It'd be like this. Think about this. Since we're in the cell phone generation, it'd be like if Jesus kept calling you on your phone and Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. And you're just like, ignore, 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 ignore. Jesus is calling. You're ignoring it. You're ignoring it. You're 37 missed calls from Jesus. Okay? One really long voicemail. Okay? Then all of a sudden, things go bad and you're like, who do I call? Oh, Jesus. Call him up and he's like, ignore. It's true. Does that help? Does that help this generation? All the teenagers are like, I get it now. Whoa. You know, everybody's so confused on this reprobate doctrine, but you have to explain it in a way that we can get it today, you know? But in John chapter 12, we're talking about the same type of people. What did they do in Zechariah 7? They'd hardened their heart like an adamant stone. Okay? They would not hear God's word. They would not listen. And he said, well, I'm not going to hear you either. So they'd gone over that line. What does the Bible say in verse 37 of John chapter 12? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, watch this, they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now notice, these people, and in this context, we are talking about the Pharisees. We are talking about the Pharisees. It says that they could not believe. Why could they not believe? Because God had hardened their heart and blinded their eyes. Why would God do that? Why would God? You say, wait a minute, God's a God of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to be saved. He will have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is God hardening people's hearts and blinding their eyes? There's one reason why. It's the same reason in Zechariah 7, same reason in Proverbs 1, same reason in Romans 1, because of the fact that they rejected him first, and not once, but many times and repeatedly, and not even just a casual, not even just hitting ignore, but saying, man, I wish that he would stop calling me. That's what they did. Not even just ignoring the call, but saying, I want him to stop. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 1, they didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge. Man, I wish I could just forget about him. I wish he would just lose my number. Right? And when a person does that, God will eventually take them up on that. And the Bible, look, it's taught in the scripture. Romans 1, Proverbs 1, many other places. We run into this doctrine with Pharaoh, you know, all kinds of scriptures. Where people get to a point where God hardens their heart and God blinds their eyes, and it says they could not believe. Because a lot of people will always, whenever you talk to them about this doctrine of being a reprobate that Romans 1 covers so thoroughly, here's what they'll say. Well, you're saying that if a person believes in Jesus, they still won't be saved because they're a reprobate. No, I've never said that. Let me just make it clear. Anybody who believes on Jesus is saved. Amen. Anyone. Yep. As long as they truly from their heart believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, John 3:16 is a lie. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So anyone who believes will be saved. Because people come at you with like, well, what if one of these reprobates believes on Jesus? Are they then, they can't get, why can't they get saved? But hold on a second. You must not even understand what it means to be a reprobate. Yeah. Because what does it mean to be a reprobate? You cannot believe. Because your heart is hardened and your eyes are blinded. What does it say? Read it. And don't just say, well, I just don't agree with what Pastor Anderson's saying right now. Look what Jesus is saying. Look what the Bible said. Look down at your Bible. Verse number 39. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Why? That they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. God's saying, I'm to the point with these people where I no longer want them to be converted or healed. I'm to the point with them now where I'm just blinding them because I'm through with them. They've been given. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What does it mean to have a reprobate mind? Listen to me now. A reprobate mind is a mind that is incapable of believing on Jesus. And the reason I take the time to explain this too, I've had some people come to me and say like, you know, I'm afraid that I might have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Because one of the things where God says that he'll pretty much just set you to, you know, go straight to voicemail when you call him. Where he'll put you straight to voicemail. He's not going to answer when you call. One of the things is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. Now, people will say, well, that's the only thing. That's the only sin that can't be forgiven. Yeah, that's the only sin that can't be forgiven. But that's not the only thing that will send you down the road to being a reprobate. Because adding to or taking from God's word, the Bible says you're for sure damned. Yeah. The Bible also says that if you take the mark of the beast, you're done. You know, so there are other things that you could do where God will, or just if you just keep refusing God, he will give you over to a reprobate mind. Yeah. It's not that you've committed an unforgivable sin. It's that, because again, they're mixing two things here. He says he'll forgive all sins. He won't forgive the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he's only going to forgive the sins of those who are what? How do you get your sins forgiven? You got to be saved, right?
Right.
Okay, well, if he turns you over to a reprobate mind, are you getting saved?
No.
So that's why your sins are forgiven. It's not that you've committed an unforgivable sin. I think, you know, I keep explaining this doctrine over and over again. And I keep explaining it, and I understand it real well.
Yeah.
And some people understand it real well, and then other people just never get it. But, you know, I wonder if they just don't want to get it.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't see why this is that complicated. I think some people just, they're really resistant to this doctrine because it's different than what they've been taught. Mm-hmm. When there's a lot of scripture about it. Where did I have you turn? Anywhere?
Still on John.
So I had something really important to say, and now I forgot. Where was I going? Somebody help me out. Somebody help me get the train back on the rail here. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Perfect. Yeah, people come to me and they're like, I'm afraid. This is important. I really wanted to talk about this. Thanks for telling me that. I'm afraid I blasphemed the Holy Ghost, Pastor Anderson. I'm afraid that I'm a reprobate. Or they'll name some other thing that they did and say, hey, I'm afraid I'm a reprobate, Pastor Anderson. And here's what I always ask that person. I always ask that person, do you hate God? No. Do you not want to retain God in your knowledge? No. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Then you're not a reprobate. Period. I mean, you don't have to worry like, oh, I'm afraid I'm a reprobate. Look, reprobates hate God. Their reprobate's heart is like an adamant stone. Okay? A reprobate's eyes are totally blinded to where they can't see the truth. They can't understand the truth. Now, do these reprobates sometimes pose as Christians and infiltrate like a Judas Iscariot type? Of course. But they're not. If you have to wonder, like, am I a reprobate? I want to be saved. I believe in Jesus. I love the Lord. I love the Bible. Then you're not a reprobate, because the Bible says of reprobates that they're haters of God.
Yeah.
Hard-hearted. What does it mean to be hard-hearted? You know what's you know what a tender heart is? It's sensitive to the Word of God being preached, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A hard heart, just everything bounces right off. Does everybody understand? So therefore, even just the fact that you're so worried about it shows that you even care. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that you believe and understand the gospel. Look, if you believe and understand the gospel, then you're apparently not blinded, because you see it. You get it. You understand it. Now, compare that with the reprobate in Proverbs 1, where they call on the Lord and he won't save them. Does it say they'll believe on Jesus and they won't be saved? Did it say they believed in the Lord and he wouldn't save them? No, it just says they called upon him. This is just somebody who's like, you know, let's say, you know, they're just dying on their deathbed or you know, whatever. They're in a car crash and the car is sailing over the cliff and they're like, oh God, save me! You know, that's not really believe. He's just going to laugh and be like, see ya, sucka. Right? He's going to mock when their fear cometh. He's going to laugh. Or somebody who's, you know, or some reprobate sodomite who goes out and he fills his body with AIDS and staph infections and gonorrhea and syphilis and every other filthy thing that these homos are filled with. He goes out and fills body with all this disease, and then he's just withering and dying away in some hospital bed. And he's like, oh God, please help me, God. That's not him believing on Christ. Because guess what? That guy, his heart is hardened. He's not going to believe on Christ. But he might just call out to God. He might just call out to the Lord. Is that salvation, though? No, because it's not accompanied by the faith in his heart. His heart is hardened to where he could not believe. So anyway, just wanted to go over that with you, because it's such an important doctrine, mainly because of the fact that, number one, it's not being talked about today. It's become uncool. It's become unpopular, unkosher, you know, in churches, in the Judeo-Christian world. And number two is because of the fact that our country is actually filled with reprobates, you know, more and more. And so this is becoming more relevant to us than it was to previous generations, where you didn't have as much of a God-hating spirit in this country that you do now. There's a lot more just God-haters now than there were in time past in this country. Why? It's people that are reprobate that have that God-hating mentality.